creating and rekindling memories. NHR.
That is the War of the Worlds, the eve of the War of the Worlds, anyway, from Jeff Wayne. To tell us a little bit more about the War of the Worlds and Strangers on a Train at the Duchess Theatre is Liz Turner. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning to you.
How are you this morning? Because I know that you've not been too well.
I'm hopefully I'll stop coughing and sneezing long enough to talk to you.
It's nice that you were able to join us, because I know that you're going to join us in the studio, but as I say, from your travels and everything, you've picked up a little bit of something anyway. So it's nice that you're on the mend anyway. So War of the Worlds and Strangers on a Train, the radio plays. Now, for anyone who's not seen a radio play performed as a stage play, how does it all work?
OK, well, it's slightly different with the two productions. Strangers on a Train is a straight, what you'd call a radio play. We have a setting on stage representing a 1950s American radio station with the sort of old-fashioned microphones. And the inimitable Jonathan Greaves is the master of ceremonies, as it were, with the props lady live, who is Celia Billow this time, doing all the sort of coconuts and whatnot. So Strangers on a Train is, we play it, I think there are 15, 14 people in the cast playing all the different parts. And of course, you don't have to be the right age or even the right gender to play the person that you're playing. So that's done straight sort of with scripts into a microphone with the sound effects done mainly live by Celia in front of the stage so that the audience can see. And the audience are also invited to join in and sort of be part of the whole production. War of the Worlds, it's slightly different. We decided that, or rather Jonathan decided that he would take advantage of the fact that radio mics had also come into use in the 50s. And it's sort of a kind of half-staged production. So there's much more movement. We're doing it as far as possible off script. And it's they're both exciting. They've both got lots of sound effects and heightened effects to sort of increase the audience's involvement and the atmosphere.
You see, I've seen a few radio plays in the past of various things, and I love the way that it's all done, because I love radio, and sort of going back to, you know, sort of over the years and everything, and back to the 1920s and 1930s, which is when sort of most people got their entertainment and most of their sort of news from, if you like, and when they used to tune into the radio. And especially War of the Worlds, which, as I say, we played a little section of the radio broadcast from 1938, and people were, they actually believed that they were being invaded Martians. Yeah. And that is what I love about radio, because it paints pictures in your head. And seeing it on stage as well, it sort of casts a massive magnifying glass over what radio can do, and it shows the work that goes behind a radio production. I mean, all you got to do is look at something like The Archers. You know, how many years has that been going, and still people are tuning in, and you know, sort of to get this whole image of that sort of life, and seeing it on stage just goes to show, you know, sort of the work that actually goes into something like a radio play. I mean, these are two classic radio plays, and proof that drama performed on the radio it is very effective. Do you sort of listen to radio plays or?
Oh, I do. I've always loved radio plays, yeah. I mean, I write a bit as well. I've tried my hand at writing a radio script. I've never actually sent one in, to be honest. But, I mean, they do. It paints a picture in your head. And you forget how much more can be done on the radio than on stage with a purely radio performance. You can have crowds and crowds of people. You can go from one country to another, you know, in the flick of a switch sort of thing just in the audience's mind. And when you see it done, it's a kind of sort of contrast between what you would normally hear and then seeing what's actually happening on stage. in the here and now. So the sound effects and the lighting in the sense of putting it on the stage, which you wouldn't have in the radio, obviously, but the sound effects and the music and so on, it all adds to the tension.
Now, I know that back in the day, when plays were performed on the radio, the actors really dressed the parts. They'd sort of be there in the tuxedos and stuff, and the women would have their, you know, the gowns on and everything. So is this going to be the same with the radio plays that we're going to see by, from Riverside? Or are we going to get that glamour?
Well, not sure about the glamour. this is Riverside,
Liz,
you know.
You're involved. It's bound to be glamorous.
You're so kind. Now, we will be going for a 50s look, definitely, yeah, and the gentleman will be wearing the sort of suits and whatnot, and we'll try to be dressing up as actresses, 50s actresses playing parts, yeah.
So what, tell us a little bit about the sound effects, because, I mean, we hear sound effects on the radio and we don't quite know sort of how they are made and stuff like that. So with the sound effects for these, I mean, tell us a little bit about the sound effects.
Well, on Strangers on the Train, I mean, you've got also, obviously, you've got train effects, you've got crowd scenes, you've got tennis matches, which the audience will be invited to join in as the audience and so on. The actual audience in the theatre will be invited to join in to provide some of the effects. In the War of the Worlds, obviously, you've got that amazing album by Jeff Wayne, which you've just played part of. The War of the Worlds music with the sort of Martian-y electronic effects in the background. I mean, Bob, the wonderful Bob Baron, builds some of these effects. For example, doors that open and close. You've sort of built a sort of miniature door which Seely can operate opening and closing and things like this. And one of the problems was how to make the sound of the... I'm sure you're familiar with this, how to make the sound of the spaceship opening. This sort of something is turning, and you can hear this happening, and we have to sort of find a way of doing this. I think on the radio they used a coffee jar and a bucket, unscrewing a coffee jar inside a big bucket to get this sound of the I don't know what Celia's come up with, to be honest, because it's not all quite ready. So I shall be as amazed as the rest of the audience probably. But she'll have an array of strange things in front of her on a table in front of the stage that the audience will be able to see her operating.
And it's just Celia who's doing all the sound effects then?
Well, no, she's doing the live ones. We are having the recorded ones as well for the War of the Worlds, mainly for the War of the Worlds, because it needs quite a big dramatic sound system behind it.
And
Dave Martin's doing the lights as well, so needs quite a lot of lighting.
It's going to be great then if Dave's in charge of the lights.
It's going to be very exciting, yes. You'll believe there is a Martian machine landed just behind the audience. And
in the car park across the road, you'll go out and find one of those great big, what we'd call them, the killer machines or something, like the great big legs. I'm looking at a picture of one. Make sure your car, mind you, make a difference if your cars were locked anyway. I mean, those things would just trample on them. anyway, so. And I can remember one radio play that I went to see at Loughborough, and it's just fascinating just to watch all the sound effects sort of come into life. And if you close your eyes, you actually sort of believe everything, but seeing them, you know, sort of boots tramping on gravel. You've got somebody with just two boots.
You've got the tray ready.
Oh, it's brilliant. I love these sort of plays because not only are they great to watch, they're great entertainment, but they're very educational as well. And you see,
I suppose
go on, Liz.
As you can say, for people in this day and age who are used to everything being done on the computer.
Absolutely.
It's completely the opposite, isn't it? It's absolutely back to basics.
Oh, most definitely. And it's just fascinating just to watch.
Human ingenuity, yeah.
Exactly. So, when it comes down to it, electronics can only do so much. Human intervention, you've got to have it. So, how different are productions like this then for the casts involved compared with sort of any other stage play?
Well, it is very different because when you've got a script to learn, that's the first thing. You've got to get over learning the script and the words and getting that into your head and before you can sort of really sort of work on it. And you can't really sort of interact with other people until you've got that learned. But obviously, you're working on scripts. That is no longer an obstacle. It has restrictions in that when you're working with the microphone, you're not moving about. You're not sort of able to do much in the way of body language. Although you do body language anyway, you just automatically do sort of react as a human being, as an actor. But you are at the microphone, so there's that difference. And with War of the Worlds, it is a bit more. We're moving around, and we are sort of without script mostly. We're not quite. Jonathan's put it. It's staged with more than a hint of parody, by which we mean that we're going well over the top with this. The melodrama is sort of hovering on the horizon with the War of the Worlds, so it's not quite as naturalistic as.
But this is the 1930s, isn't it? 1940s, and everything to do with radio back then was sort of really over the top and as you say, melodramatic.
It's so dramatic,
exactly. Yes. Yeah, I mean that's what radio is about. It's got to be dramatic. For goodness' sake,
that's what it is. So. That's what we've got. Yeah, that's what we're aiming for.
with the bits, I mean, with like Strangers on a Train. I mean, I've seen the film. I love the film, and again, it's very sort of pastiche. And it's, I mean, how do the actors sort of deal with sort of just standing around a microphone? Because on the film, you know, they're sat down, they're pretty static anyway for quite a bit of the time. But the actors themselves, I mean, they'll be used to moving around the stage and everything. So,
yeah.
I mean, how constricted do they feel sort of just being around a mic?
It is a bit constricted, but you can do an awful lot when you know there's an audience there watching. Just the way you turn away from someone or somebody comes up behind someone at a microphone, you can get that sort of dramatic movement into it for the audience to have something visually to see as well, which also gives the actors something to work on, you know. So, which you wouldn't have had probably. I don't know. I haven't seen The Archers, but. They probably don't do it quite like that in a real radio theatre nowadays.
I'm just wondering if in The Archers, whether they actually dress up in farmers' outfits and everything, and just sit there, and they've got a cow in the background or something like that. Yeah, how realistic is it?
A nice steaming heap of manure in the corner. Yeah.
They're probably sat there sort of in the jeans and T-shirts with a fag on and a cup of coffee.
Probably, yeah. Yeah.
This looks like it's going to be an amazing double bill. I can't wait to see this because,
great fun.
Yeah.
It will be. There's a lot of humour in it, an awful lot of humour, which possibly wasn't in the original, I don't know. But, I mean, Strangers on the Train, the original novel in 1950, Patricia Highsmith's first novel, was very, very dark. The Hitchcock film, I think, lightened it up quite a bit. And we've lightened it up a bit more, probably. And, War of the Worlds. We've got some great people in the cast as well. Dan Bates is playing Dr. Clayton Forrester. And we've got Donna Osmond playing his love, Sylvia Van Buren. And there's 15 people. I'm going to mention them all. But there's lots of great characters in there.
Is it the same cast that's sort of in both productions?
Yeah, the same cast, pretty well. Pretty well everybody has got a part or several parts.
Brilliant.
I myself am playing a male American detective and a ranger. I'm also playing Miriam, the horrid wife of Guy Haynes in Strangers on the Train, the one who has to be bumped off, which is a great part. I love playing bitches. Typecast again.
You play them so well, though, Liz, which is a tribute to your acting because you're not like that in real life.
Well, thank you for saying that. Yes, a bit worrying, really.
Just thought I'd throw that in just in case people thought I was being a bit bitchy there. But no, it's two amazing productions, all for the price of one as well. So you're really going to get the bargain for this.
Absolutely.
Where can people get tickets to come and see the War of the Worlds Strangers?
Obviously online from the Duchess Theatre via Ticket Source. Duchess Theatre, Long Eaton, not the one in London, obviously.
Yes.
There is a phone line, which is 0115 8823884. But I mean, it's very easy to do it through the Duchess website.
Absolutely.
I must say, we're on Thursday the 26th, Friday the 27th at 7:30. But we've got a matinee on the Saturday and no evening performance. So I need to point that out, because normally we have a Saturday evening, but this time we're going for Saturday afternoon to give people who would rather not come home late at night the chance to get to come in the afternoon.
Brilliant stuff. And that, I think that's... Is that 2:30?
2:30,
yes,
yeah.
2:30, yeah. On the Saturday afternoon. Three chances to come and see this amazing double bill. And knowing what Riverside Drama are like, it's going to be absolutely amazing and great fun as well. Liz, thank you so much for telling us about it. Your voice has held up perfectly. It has.
So
you go and gargle with some whiskey or
I
something
think I
like
need
that.
To, yeah.
Medicinal
yeah.
purposes.
Maybe a bit early for whiskey.
Medicinal purposes, it's absolutely
of course,
fine.
Yeah.
So, thank
Thanks
you so much for that.
Anyway.
And
thank you.
We'll see you down there. Thanks, Liz.
Did you know that Nottingham Hospital Radio is a registered charity? As a result, we rely on people like you to donate to it. All our members are committed volunteers who run the service for the benefit and entertainment of the patients in the Queen's Medical Centre and City Hospitals. Research has shown that listening to hospital radio can positively benefit a patient's recovery, and we think it's a very worthwhile thing to do. Donating to NHR is easy and rewarding, so please log on to nhradio.org.uk and go to the donate page. That's nhradio.org.uk/donate. You'll be glad you did, and thank you.